This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Thursday, September 12, 2024. The Memorial of the Most Holy Name of Mary by Father William Doc Holliday.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel, being come in, said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. These very, very familiar words of the Annunciation. Certainly the virgin's name was Mary, setting the stage of whom we speak. That word, you read a lot of things spiritually. Mary means this, Mary means that, Mary means that. It really all depends on what language you're speaking. In Hebrew, her name, Mariam, which actually comes from an Egyptian word, or Latin, Maria, or English, Mary. You look at these different names and they're all the same person. Names mean things. I've always been interested in names. You know, people's last names, particularly pretty different cultures. We got an application one time for membership in the Ordinariate, and you got to be real formal. I looked at it, I was like, that person has 9 names. I mean, they're from Brazil, and I was like, what? But names, they do. They have meanings. I mean, the most common names, particularly in English. Smith. Where did that come from? Because back in the day, medieval times, you were known by what you did. It's like, that's David, the Smith, coppersmith, blacksmith, but David the Smith. It just got to Smith. You know, that's where those kind of names come. Baker. Okay. They have, you know, that is pretty common in English. Other languages, it seems like they are descriptive of people. Not maybe so much the person, but I mean, back in the day, names were given to people. You weren't named. Oh, what's the baby's name going to be? They waited until after born. For instance, in the days of Jesus, you know, we see it with John the Baptist, see what our Lord Jesus, what do you call him? 8 days after they're born. They really don't have a name. Like, I'm sure they had something in mind. But I mean, in our day and age, names aren't looked on as seriously as they were back then. We're going to have a baby. Get the name book. Open up. That sounds pretty. That sounds nice. They have meanings. All names have meanings. And when you look, particularly when you're dealing with God, God is so very, very specific about names that he will actually change it. How many times we read in scripture about God changing someone's name? Abram to Abraham, the father of nations, his wife, he's the father of nations. She's going to go from Sarai to Sarah, the mother of nations. You have Simon, his name changed to Peter because he's going to be the rock on which Christ builds the church. Saul of Tarsus, the one who breathed out fire and destruction on the church, hated the church, to Paul. Our Lord changes names because he actually changes the person's identity. I mean, you look at Peter, the fisherman, a laborer. Now you're going to be the rock on which I build my church. He changes his actual identity. Like I was saying about historically, names were our identity. It's what we did and what we did. Where does that come? It comes from God. Because if your name is something and he wants to change, like Saul. Saul's known as the enemy of the church. Paul. This is what God does. He changes our identities when he changes our name. You look at, back to Mary, the name, the way it gets broken down. Star of the Sea, Beloved. Both of them are absolutely perfect translations of the name Mary. They really sound complete. Well, what is it? Star of the sea or beloved? Those don't even really connect. Or there's another one. It can actually be, and this is what I mean about names. When you look at them, because when I was reading that, I was like, what? It actually means bitterness. Why would that ever apply to the, Our Lady of Sorrows. Her whole life in this world was bitter. So all of these different things apply to, you know, that name, Mary. God changed Abraham, Sarah, Peter, Paul. He gave them a new name. Our Blessed Mother is so imbued with graces from God that she has names heaped upon her. The Litany of Loretto, I did a rough count this morning, 54 different titles, names for our Blessed Mother. Mother of Peace, Mother of this, Mother of that, Lady of this, Lady of that, you know, all that. 54 different titles. It's like God changed Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul, but he didn't change Mary. She just gets additional titles heaped upon her because there's not a word that can encompass all the graces that she has. But I mean, you look at a couple of the titles of our Blessed Mother, we understand, or you should, how much veneration she's. I think the first and foremost, and I always like it because I was baptized in a church that bore this title, Mother of God. Out of all of her titles, Queen of Peace, Queen of Heaven, Queen of Angel, all that's kind of, what title? That's a title that no one could have ever, anywhere in creation. Mother of God. You know, her intimate relationship, both in spirit and in body with God, the Mother of God. We say that so frequently. That's a very common title. Try to just meditate upon that title for the Mother of God. God's eternal. He doesn't have a mother. Yeah, you're right. And she's the Mother of God. Really just overwhelming when you start thinking about these names of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Queen of the universe. Protestants hate stuff like that. Queen of the universe. Well, okay, she's Jesus' mother, right? Yeah. Well, he's king of the universe, right? And even in this world, if somebody's a king and their mom's still alive, she's the queen mother by definition. So if he's king of the universe, she just by definition has to be queen of the universe, queen of heaven, queen of angels. That whole title, that queen of angels thing, I wonder why a third of the angels fell. Well, a lot of speculation as to how that happened is because they knew that she was going to be the queen of angels. And they rebelled against the concept that they who were made so much higher than we are were going to be overseen by the queen of angels, who is a creature of flesh. And they didn't want any part of that. Their pride would not allow it. So consequent to, you know, that title was detrimental to beings with no faith or rebellious beings. His mother, this title, Mother of God. Again, that, could you imagine about all the titles when they were confronted with, yes, she's going to be the queen of angels. Oh, heck no. And could you imagine how they really flipped out when she, the Mother of God? What? This is why these things happen. The Mother of God, you know, our appeal to her as the Mother of God, her intercession, it is really, truly, if you were going to pray, we should pray to all kinds of saints for intercession. We should pray for to one another. Hey, pray for me, pray for. We should do that. But if you could only pick one, it would have to be the Blessed Mother. It would have to. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Well, I'm going to pick one. I'm going to pick Saint Francis. Really? Okay. Yeah, he was close to God. He got all kinds of blessings, you know, more than Padre Pio, you know, all the blessings. Mother of God. Mother, what son's not going to listen to his mother? These titles, oh, they sound so nice. Litany of Loretto. You know, we go through all these titles. They sound good. Pray for us. Pray for mother. Pray for us. Pray. think about that. I said, there's 54 of them. This morning, let's go, 54. 54 titles. That should take you some time to sit back. You want to, I don't know, a meditation. Bust open the Litany of Loretto and go through the titles to Our Blessed Mother and think about that title. Think about one of the 54 titles. That should take you a little bit of time. This one day and this one the next day and this one. This is how we get closer to understanding, in a sense, and if we're cooperating with the grace of our guardian angels, this is how we get closer to understanding things like this. And the rationale for the intercession of Blessed Heart Mary, and how sure and confident we should be that when we ask something, we're going to get it, not because we want it, but because the Mother of God knows what her Son's will is, and she asks him in accord with his will perfectly. We don't ask not anywhere near in accord with his will. We ask for things that we think we need. She knows what her Son's will is, and she asks him to give us what we really need. And if you think he won't answer, that's Mother of God. Remember that one. We think of our Blessed Mother and, you know, all the things that we say about her. The end of prayers. I always, this one, this kind of sticks in my craw. At the end of the Hail, Holy Queen, O Clement, and in English, I don't know when this got, O Clement, O Loving, O Sweet Virgin Mary. I'm not criticizing it. Of course, she's loving it, but that's not what that prayer says. It's O Clement, O Pia, O Pious, Reverent. You know, it really emphasizes her reverence of God as a pattern for us. You know, I don't know where that one came. I'm going to have to do some study on that one someday, but it's always kind of weird because, you know, say it in Latin, O Clement, O Pia, O Duce, Virgo Maria. But in English, it's O Loving. I mean, that loving is not a translation of Pia anywhere. Okay, so I don't know where that came from. I'm going to have to check that one out. But I mean, this is what, when you start kind of tweaking names a little bit, it really changes the whole ballgame. It is. In English, the better translation would be, O Clement, O Reverent, O Sweet Virgin Mary. Reverence is huge. She's our example for everything else. We should understand this. These names, these titles, it just demonstrates how full of grace she truly is. But you never want to lose this side of either. She's got titles upon title upon title heaped upon her. All different definitions of her name that all apply to her, even bitterness, our Mother of Sorrow. But when that angel comes down to her and says, Hail, full of grace, if you just read that on its face, it makes it sound like Mary has just been imbued with these graces. That is not, if you get down to the Greek that is used there, it doesn't speak so much about what Our Lady has, but who she is. The way the Greek grammar goes there is that it does not imply a fullness, as in she has a bunch of things. It implies instrumentality. She is the source. The angel is telling her, Hail, you are the source of grace. That is much more huge than having something. If you think, oh, she had a bunch of good things going for her, that is not what the angel is saying. The angel says that she is the source of grace. She is the source of good. She is the instrumentality of the grace. So, you know, she's the source of goodness. She is the object of God's, not just the recipient of God's graces, but the actual object through which God is going to grace this world through his Son. So it, full of grace, you read that on its face, and it just sounds like, as I said before, that she just has things. It's not a matter she has things. It's a matter, indeed she does, because she is those things. She is the source of grace. So whenever we talk about these titles of the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, these are the kind of little things that, Hail Mary. Oh, yeah, we just Mary, somebody, Mary, Jesus' mother, Mary. Get into this stuff. This is deepening the spirituality when you'll bother to pay attention. The woman never once in her life ever heard, Hey Mary, ever. That wasn't her. It was Miriam. Okay. She's Hebrew. So when you start looking at that, okay, what does it mean in Hebrew? What does it mean in, you know, that we Latinize it and everything? You know, all these kind of things. It's unfortunate because as time progresses, you go from Miriam to Maria to Mary, things start to get diluted. And I mean, when you start to dilute things, because when we hear Mary, how many Marys do you know? That's like a biggie. Mary's like huge, particularly among our crowd. All right. Mary's huge. It can kind of get lost. That's like the name Jesus. Never once did he ever hear that word used to him in this world. His name was Yeshua. Okay. He never heard that term, but we just get this mindset. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's who it is. Let's move on. If you delve into even things like their names, it deepens your faith. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen.